We're continuing on in our consideration of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. We're on Article 16. Is there anybody that needs a paper? Article 16 has the date 8/19/15 beside it. You'd need one. All right. Anybody else want one? All right, Joseph. Joseph's sitting on about 40 of them back there. All right, there you go. Anybody else? Anybody else need one? All right, 8/19/15 will be the date by it. All right, everybody good? All right. Just take that other one and throw it away. Good to see you all. Glad you're here. Since we're that close, might as well shake. All right, and wanted to do this, wanted to go through this. We have gone through this first passage in Romans chapter 13 recently in our study of the book of Romans. And but there are other things that are said here and other verses that are referred to that I thought it appropriate. It'd just be good for us to go through it. It's interesting that we, in our day, we're seeing a day that the government is being, there's the spirit of anarchy at hand. This wickedness of these shooting of these police officers and such as that, it just makes for a bad situation. And it's a terrible thing when, may the Lord help us. I mean, may our Lord help us. We have folks going about shooting police officers in just cold blood, brutally killing police officers in cold blood. And I pray for good, solid evidence that they may be prosecuted and then straightway executed, because that's what needs to be done. That's what needs to be done with every murderer. The Lord makes that clear. It's that way from the beginning, and that's the way it is unto today. But what the shame is each one of these will be, they'll have their day in court, which they ought to have, and then there'll be evidence brought and all that. But then the media and the world and all others will look for all kinds of excuses as to why they did it, and why they're the hint of justification of why they did it. And our land, our country, our states will spend millions of dollars processing them, and then maybe in 10 or 15 years they'll get the justice that's due when it should be done speedily. I mean, if there's witnesses, if there's videotape, the process ought to be quick. And what that'll cause folks to do that might be of a mindless way and a wicked way, it'll give them pause as to whether they want to join someone like that. And so our civil government is to be honored. And as this article tells about it, and these passages tell about it, the civil government and those authorities are to be honored until they press us to go against the word of the Lord. Until then, we're to honor them and know that they are from the Lord, and our Lord is in control of them. And again, another reason that we need to pray when our government gets out of sorts. We need to pray that our Lord would straighten out our government, and that we as citizens would do everything that we can in the type of government that we have in our nation, that we would do everything that we can to direct our government to what's right. Okay, because we have freedoms and we have pursuits in our form of government in our nation, and we as citizens are responsible to do that, and namely the one of voting. Okay, and so so may the Lord help us in that. Of civil government. We believe that civil government is of the divine appointment for the interest and good order of human society, and that magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored, and obeyed, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and the prince of the kings of the earth. Okay, so I like the way that that's worded. And so we start off here in Romans chapter 13, and this is familiar to us. And this is very clear. The apostle writing to the church at Rome, having never seen them, namely a Gentile church. And the scripture says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Okay, so no power is at hand unless the Lord has directed it or has allowed it. It's just that way. Now, he's in control of every power, every authority. The powers that be are ordained of God. And you just can't get any clearer than that. I mean, they they have the directive of the Lord, the appointment of the Lord, or the allowance of the Lord, as I see and understand the scriptures. Do you know that rulers can come to power because of the sin of others? It can. Do you know that rulers can come to power for the sake of judgment of other nations or that nation to which they are a ruler? It can be. All kinds of different combinations, I believe, exist. But they all under the authority of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And so understand that in every ordinance that they would give, every ordinance that they would create, if it doesn't go contrary to the scriptures, as we'll see, we should not resist it, but we should submit to it. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, judgment, punishment, not only from the authority themselves, but from the Lord. You know, we as the children of God, we need to be reminded that we have the principle at hand that is the case with all men, women, boys, and girls, that we shall reap what we sow. That's the way it is with everybody. You shall reap what you sow. It's that way. But not only that, the children of God have it, that we have an everlasting Father who loves us and that will chasten us when we get out of line. And so we have it, if you will, kind of twice over. We will reap what we sow, and then we have a Father and that loves us and will rebuke us and chastise us as we need it. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, condemnation, judgment, rebuke, and a chastisement from the authorities and from the Lord. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power that's been ordained by God? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And it is with us always. We always say, but I know a rotten cop. But yeah, sure, all of us do. You know a rotten baker too. You hear what I'm saying? You know a rotten, lousy mechanic. You know a bad doctor. Sure, we know of all different facets of life where people feeling those have not done well. Sure you do. You know a lousy president and lousy senators, a lousy vice president. We know lousy ones of all of them. But that doesn't change what our Lord has ordained and the way he's done. And again, we have liberty and freedom in our government. We need to engage that to the liberty that we have to prevent those kind of things from happening, okay? But don't take that lousy one. Well, maybe it's a whole handful of lousy ones. Now you got your work cut out for you to be praying for them, amen? I mean, that's what it's going to tell us. They're not a rule of terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Listen, for because he is the minister of God, the minister of God. I'm the minister of God, called by the Lord to preach his word and his gospel, called here to be the pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church. And so is that law officer, a minister of God. So is the county judge. So is the district judge and the circuit judge. They are. They're the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, because he's got the authority to use it. And all other sundry torments that they have. Listen, I praise the Lord. Lord willing, tomorrow night we go to the Logan County Jail that kind of came on us suddenly. I don't know. Did we know that Sunday? Okay, we knew that Sunday. Because Brother Mike just called and said, you're on Thursday. It's always real quick. We're early in the schedule. Then I got it in the mail, and sure enough, we go tomorrow. So, brethren, if you can go tomorrow at 6:30 at the Logan County Jail, okay? I'm glad we go to the jail and thankful for the privilege we have to preach there, preach the Lord Jesus Christ there. But I tell you, it's a terrible place. It's a terrible place. I would never want to be a one that would be taken to and put there to stay there overnight. But I'm glad we're able to go and preach. But there's he beareth not the sword in vain, and he may not use the sword on you, but he might use other things that he has. And he's the minister, for he is the minister of God. I mean, there it is, plain. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's the authority that he has. That's the directive that he has. Now, if we obey the law of the land, we don't have to be afraid of the law officer. We don't. Oh, look out. There's a policeman. No. If you're obeying, there's nothing to fret about. If we're disobeying, then, well, we would fret, okay? But we don't have to be on the lookout. There's a copper, you know. No, we don't have to be on. Just obey. Obey. You won't have a problem. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. How would we like to have a world without any law enforcement? And many times in our day, we say, driving down the road, where's the law enforcement when you need them, right? We see that driver, somebody appears to be drunk, or somebody that's speeding excessively, driving wildly. We got behind somebody like that the other day. It was just yesterday in Nashville. They were just reckless. And they needed to be dealt with, or in the local vernacular, they needed to be handled. Right? They needed to be handled. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. They're there looking for the one that's a lawbreaker. You know, like the law of God. You know, do we understand about the law of God? The law of God is to show us our sin, to show us our need. But you know what? The law doesn't have any effect on those that are obedient and don't cross the law. Okay, and I understand there's that of the unregenerate sinner and their need and what the law speaks to them and how they can't keep the law of God. But the law is also there that to show us that we're sinners, but it also, if we're obedient, it has no impact. It has no condemnation that comes from us if we don't cross it. And as the children of God and in day-to-day life. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject. It is necessary to be subordinate. That's what that word subject means. Not only for wrath, so you don't get slapped, okay, but also for conscience sake. Good moral order, because it is right. Parents that don't honor the law officer and the law of the land and the authority of the land will have children that don't honor the law officer and the authority of the land. Mark it down. Mark it down. If we speak evil about the rulers of our nation, and we can, it's not that we cannot have an opinion according to righteousness, but if we hold the corrupt government is terrible, and a corrupt situation is terrible, and we should speak the truth. But if we as parents, as grandparents, have a disdain for that of authority, we cannot expect our children to do anything different. And so there needs to be this moral order. We need to do this for conscience sake because it's right. The passage is speaking to us about our attitude towards it for conscience sake. Verse 6, for this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually on this very thing. They have taxes, they have tolls, as excessive as they may be. May the Lord help us and provide for us. May we pay for them, and may we be honest in that. I try to do and seek to do, I take advantage, every advantage tax-wise that the government gives me, but I look to do my taxes honestly. And what a terrible shame for the men of God to not do their taxes honestly. It's a shame, and I'll just speak about me. It applies to us all. For this cause pay you tribute also. Don't look to shyst them, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. I don't understand the county self-employment tax. I don't understand it. But by statute of the Kentucky government, the local officials are able to collect it. I don't think I'm waxing political here. I'm just giving you an opinion. But by state statute, the local officials are able to collect it, and I'll rat them out on this, and they can use it at their will monthly at the county government sessions. It's not appropriated, as I understood last when I inquired about it a couple. But nevertheless, I'm to pay it. I'm to pay it and need to pay it. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually on this very thing. Render therefore all their dues, so they might have a tribute, which is a tax, or they may have a custom. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whose custom is due, a fee for working in the county, and fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. They've got it coming. And then again, in our system of government, we are allowed to work in a right spirit and a right way to correct those things that are unjust. But this is, they're appointed of the Lord. And may we know that. It's by divine appointment for the interest and good order of human society. If we had no law enforcement, we would have vigilante government and mayhem and madness. If we had no law enforcement, and we're getting to a situation that law enforcement may be well overrun, you don't remember the days of the Wild Wild West, but we know about it historically. What a sad case that we're maybe coming to a time that people are considering packing weapons again for the sake of the ones that are anarchists, that just want to promote mayhem and madness amongst the people. And what a terrible thing. But if we had no law enforcement at all, that's what we would have to do. Remember on the Lord Jesus' day, he said, if you don't have a sword, go sell some stuff, sell your cloak, and go buy you a sword. And they said, Lord, here's two swords. And amongst 13 of them or 12 of them, he said, that's enough. Because there has to be a defense. We're allowed to defend ourselves from the standpoint civilly. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Here Moses preaching to the children of Israel. And two or three messages here in the book of Deuteronomy as they prepare to go into the promised land under the leadership of Brother Joshua. And he tells them here the way that the Lord has ordained it to be. Deuteronomy 16:18. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates. And see, that was the seat of government in the gate where people were coming and going. That's where the elders sat. And that's where the law officer, the magistrate, and the sheriff, and that's where that was their station. They could shut down the city. They could check people that were out, that were coming in. They could check people out that were going out. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. This next verse I think is good. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Don't twist it. Don't make it what it's not to be. Be honest and truthful in it all. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. Don't be bribed. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. And so we see that even Israel was commanded to do so. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Last words of David, last will and testament. And here's what he says about this. The God of Israel, verse number 3, 2 Samuel 23:3, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. You know, every ruler, many seek political office just for the benefits. That happens, okay? I'm not saying everybody does, but many do. And many seek office just for the sake of themselves, because I know by firsthand knowledge about those that would sit in places of authority and they don't have a clue what they are doing. They are to fill that office well. They will take and spend the money in an unjust, unrighteous way, or they won't be good stewards of the office that they have been given. And you know what? They'll come into judgment by God for that, for serving themselves or serving the people that they were elected by. And that will happen whether it be the smallest village or burg or the largest state in the nation. All men, all those that have been brought to position all through the ages will be brought to account. They will be brought to account. The God of Israel said, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And if they do not, the Lord will take account of it." And then Brother Moses, he had a great people, a great number of people that he led by the power of God out of Israel. He was becoming overwhelmed with it. And in Exodus chapter 18, we see here his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, comes to visit him and bring back his wife and sons. And in verse number 23, the priest of Midian, I believe he's God's priest, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he says, "Set some men over the people. Provided, verse number 21, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God." Look at the qualifications. "Men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people in all the seasons." Let them do those things, those day-to-day things. Verse 23, "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose those men and put them in authority and made them judges over the people. It was necessary then. He just couldn't do it all. They stepped on my cat. They kicked my calf. They took my water pot. And Moses couldn't take care of all that stuff. And Jethro gave him good advice. And what is it? For a people of 1.5 to 3 million, for them to abide, to be able to abide together in some kind of peace, there had to be some authority at hand. There had to be some authority. There had to be some leadership at hand and some government at hand. Again, we believe that civil government is of divine appointment for the interest and good order of human society. And that is certainly a key point. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah, a prophet to Judah, and in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 21, the Lord here telling about how he's going to bring Israel back. In verse number 3, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord." Okay? And verse number 21 of this chapter, "And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them." You know why? Because they've got a stake. If a foreigner is the leader, they have no stake. And shame for a leader. It troubles me that when leaders take the leadership of a nation and pursue what they think is the right course, whether it is or not, and then after that become world citizens. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with that. That's not righteous. I think it's certainly a telltale of them taking and using that nation, that state, whatever it is that they would be ruler over, and taking that and then using it as a launching point for other things. For that, they don't have a stake. If you don't have a stake in a thing, if you don't have a connection in a thing, you don't care about it. You don't care about whether it lives or dies, especially if you're feeding yourself. And so the Lord is giving great wisdom here, that their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? David said it. Solomon at the beginning said it. How can I lead so great a people? But the Lord will help. The Lord will help one that wants to do right and be honoring to the Lord in it. The second part of this article says, and that magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored, and obeyed. They have their position. They have their position. In Matthew chapter 22, this is the words of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, as he deals with this, and the religious leadership of the day is trying to trip the Lord up. And so they ask him about this of taxation. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Understand that Israel is occupied. Israel is the nation is occupied by the Romans. They have ruled with an iron fist. I mean, they are oppressive to the nation and to the people. And Israel is a difficult nation to hold down. And so they ask, is that lawful? Is it right? What's God think about it? And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, verse 18, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought it to him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? Whose carving of whose head is this? Who's this writing that is on here? Who's it have to do with? And they say unto him, it's Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. And when they heard these words, again, they marveled, as they did much with our Lord. Their jaw dropped open. We can't believe what we're hearing. We can't believe what you're saying, that you would tell us that God would want us to pay that tribute, and left him and went their way. They're shaking their heads as they leave the Lord. Now let's think about something. Rome is the authority. How did Rome become the authority? Well, Rome has not been the only authority over the land of Israel and over the nation of Israel. There's been several that has been her, that she has had, that has been master to Israel. And we can rewind this all back to Solomon and the divided kingdom. And why did that happen? Because of disobedience of God. Amen. And Israel and Judah continued to pursue a wicked way. And you know what? It's sad. It's hard. It's terrible. But that's what sin does. Because Israel, as a nation, before she was divided, and her leader went away from the Lord, went away from God, she got masters that she didn't want. But had she been obedient to her Lord would have still been her master until this day. Amen? So how was it that Rome came about? Rome came about as the master, her master, because of her disobedience. And it came upon the children, on down the line for hundreds of years. And so if they are the authority, our Lord says they're to be honored in what they delegate and say to be done. Render to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. Well, that's a double load. That's a triple load. Well, that's what you've got. That's the way that it is. And so as parents, may we be faithful in the things that we've been given. Titus chapter 3, the apostle writes to Brother Titus about the ministry that the Lord has called him to. And we see here in chapter 3 of Titus in verse number 1, as he is told to deal with the folks there at Crete, right? The Cretans, that's where Brother Titus is given to minister. And he says in verse chapter 3 and verse number 1, put them, those that you minister unto, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, and be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. Maybe that was a thing that was noted there on Crete. They just liked a good fight. He said, don't be a brawler. Be gentle and showing meekness unto all men. Power under control. Just because you can whip them, don't whip them. Okay? And be obedient to the government of the land. That magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored, and obeyed. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter writes concerning this subject also. In chapter 2 and verse number 13 we consider. He says here, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Well, we might be a good witness. We might be a good testimony of obedience, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors which are lower and under the king, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Same kind of things that Brother Paul spoke about, aren't they? For the praise and for the praise of them that do well, or to submit to them and to honor them and such. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the apostle writes to Brother Timothy also concerning this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we've got a lot of praying to do. Brother Stephen's been teaching on prayer. It's been a blessed study, and I'm thankful for it. We have a lot of praying to do. May we be a prayerful people. May we be always in prayer unto our Lord. And as Brother Danny said, don't be shutting your eyes going down the road. May the Lord help our brother. And thankful for him. But we got a lot of prayer. We got a lot of things to pray for. And may we be a prayerful people. You know, that dialogue, that conversation always going on between us and the Lord. You know, is it just you and you there dealing with your life by yourself, or is the Lord there beside you? You know, is that part of our consciousness and thinking in the day? Do we think we go over here kind of to the viewfinder in our mind and flip on the Lord? Now the Lord's there. Now the Lord's not. How is it that we think about it? The Lord's always there. He's always there watching. He's always there hearing. And we need to take, the Lord will bring things to mind. I need to pray about things when I remember them, not just save them up for later because I forget. I forget a lot. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. So there's aspects that are there. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. For kings, verse 2, and for all that are in authority. I'm shamed in that. I'll be honest with you. I don't think about praying for the authorities that we have locally and in our state. I am to do so. I've been blessed with the privilege by my Savior to pray for our governor and pray for our representatives and our senators and our local representatives and authorities. Need to pray for them that they'll do well, that they'll do right, that it might be a blessing here, even in Logan County and in our community, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There, they have an impact on it, don't they? And we'd rather have a righteous leader and person in authority, wouldn't we? And so I need to pray for that. And again, I'm shamed in that, but I need to do that. I need to do that more. That it might just be a greater blessing, because our Lord is able to change the hearts of our leaders to do right things. Even if they're not saved, He's able to do that. And I pray that He'd save them. It might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Yes, there is a thing that's can. We need to pray for them because they need prayer and they need the touch of our Lord upon them. But there is a side benefit to us of this quiet and peaceable life and all godliness and honesty. Could it be? Is it so that the condition of our land and our nation and these terrible roads that we're going down have been because the people of God have not been obeying this passage? Our leaders are doing things that are just wicked and terrible, and we look on and we marvel and are in amazement that they take the positions that they do, that they can have their political mind and then they can have their personal mind. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He's pleased by it when we do. He's pleased that we have wisdom and are blessed with the understanding to know that there's a connection and that our leadership does need the Lord. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. We may have brought it right down into our hearts. Amen. But the thing is, that whole thing of separation of church and state is just simply the fact that the state should not support any church or denomination. That's all that means. It doesn't mean that we're to be godless. It doesn't mean that we're to have a godless government. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the way of salvation. Could our Lord save them? Sure He could. And He may well. Do we pray for them? Shame on me for not doing so. Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, there's life. There's hope. Whereunto to this gospel of our Lord, whereunto am I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. He had the calling of the Lord upon him to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all men, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that all men, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That lifting up of holy hands, Brother Stephen touched upon it. You know, to really implore God. Again, that's, if I really need your help and you're the only one that can do a thing and I'm getting real serious about asking you for it, I don't do it with my hands in my pockets. I implore you with my hands. I believe that's what that's talking about. Lord, may you work in this. May you help us. We need your help. We need your help. Just as your child falls down and skins their knee when they come to you crying and weeping, what do? They hold out their arms. They hold out their arms and to us that we might help. They have expectation to get help from us. May the Lord help us. Have we become so cold and indifferent and so stoic that we just don't pour our hearts out to our Lord anymore? I will therefore that all men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, believing that the Lord will work that which is pleasing to Him. The rest of this article reads, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and the Prince of the kings of the earth. We'll look to take up our consideration here next time. And I like this last part of this. And we're going to see Daniel and the apostles, how they stood. And he is the Lord of the conscience. You know, we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and to those that are without Christ. And you know what? We leave that with them and the Lord. You know, we can't save sinners. It's only the Lord that can save sinners. But it's given to us to tell them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to warn them to flee the wrath to come. You know, and thinking about this, this article in the Message, children are given to parents so that they might learn about authority and that they might submit to authority and be good citizens. We want our children to be good citizens, don't we? And to be good citizens, they'll have to submit to the law of the land. To be good citizens, they'll have to submit to the law of the land and just the things that are right of society. You know, there's a scourge upon our land where many young people just don't want to work. That's just no good. They're not submitting. That begins to take us into the realm of we're giving our children and to rear them in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, and that they submit to our authority, that ultimately they would submit to the authority of God and what the Lord says about life, what the Lord says about responsibility, what the Lord says about what He expects out of each one of us to be good citizens and be obedient human beings before Him. And then there's that ultimate thing about the soul. What I've spoken about so far is just about living on this earth. But then there's that eternal aspect too. And if there's not submission to the Lord, then there won't be any future. There won't be any future on this life that'll amount to much, and there won't be any future in eternity. Oh, eternity will go on, but it will be a torment forever. Submit to the Lord and what He said. He says, repent. As the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, to repent towards God. That's what the Lord says. Repent towards God. Submit to Him. Submit to His Word. Submit to what He's commanded. And believe, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord has commanded sinners, mankind, to do. Repent towards God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one would say, but see, well, that's the whole problem. Don't say anything. Just receive it. Submit to the Lord in it. He knows the best. And He's told the best. and all these things are connected. It's a grief to see the anarchy in our land, the anarchy that our leadership is supporting across our land. And all that'll do is lead to ruin. It'll lead to nothing but ruin. If you're here without Christ, we point you to Him. Submit to Him. Our God is a great God. Our Creator is a wonderful Creator. Our Savior is the Savior of the world. Look to Him. Come to Him. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we who are saved, may we submit to our Lord in everything. As I don't know if you remember, some time ago we went through a whole listing of relationships that we have in life. And for the child of God, really it's for everybody, but certainly for the child of God, all of our relationships are contingent on what the Lord Jesus Christ, what our Lord, what God says about our relationships. You remember that? And our relationship to government and authority in our land is contingent on what our God has commanded us to be. You see that? Our relationship to our spouses, it's directed by our Lord how we're to be. The Lord is always involved. One thing that we saw about relationships is that they're just never two parties. It really boils down to three parties, doesn't it? Us and that other one and our Lord and what He says about it. Because He's watching, isn't He? And so may the Lord help us in these things. Just things that came through my mind regarding that.